ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show. Spotlight has everything you need to create, decorate and celebrate this Christmas. The Cliffo and Gabby podcast has everything you need in a podcast.
This is the Cliffo and Gabby podcast, and it is officially now a downhill run to Christmas.
Oh, thank God.
It is the 1st of December.
Yeah.
So no debating or anything anymore. Christmas decorations can go up. Yep. Trees can go up. There's just
ham
no more.
Ham can be eaten.
Ham can be eaten.
Mince pies are allowed to be on the shelves.
Mince pies are back, even though
Advent
they've been on the shelves since about
started.
July. Oh, yeah. And I mentioned this on the show this morning as well, too. The absolute disappointment in my daughter's eyes, because we thought we'd be nice to her last night and give her her Schmiegel Advent calendar. But then we broke her heart by saying, oh, no, you can't actually open
number
it
one
until
yet.
Tomorrow. We were trying to do something nice, Gabby.
Yeah. Kind of backfired a little bit, though,
little
didn't
bit.
It? Here's a present, but you can't open it.
Exactly.
Oh.
Anyway, today's the day. My daughter's got her Smiggle one. My son has a Chupa Chup one. And the other child in my life, Gabby, has
a
makeup
one.
A beauty one.
It's all different beauty products. I'm very excited
You're
about it.
You're beautiful enough, mate. You don't even need it.
Well, I'm going to be even more beautiful after
Imagine
25
you
days of this.
On Christmas Day, you're going to be a knockout.
I do love Christmas. I'm a Christmas fanatic, but I do have a Christmas confession I need to own up to. Christmas confession. So over the last, I would say 10 to 15 years, I have been arguing a point that is maybe incorrect. So I've had this argument with you, Cliffo, multiple times over multiple years, that Die Hard is not
a Christmas movie.
My argument was that Die Hard is based at Christmas, but it's not really Christmassy, so therefore it is not a Christmas movie. Mm. And I have fought tooth and nail on that side of the argument for a good 10 years. Mm. Anyone who raised it with me, even fiancé Nev has brought it up, I would get the nails out and I would fight dirty because I did not believe it was a Christmas movie. I had actually never seen the movie.
Well, aren't we a hypocrite?
I had never watched the whole thing. I just knew the basics of what it was about.
So when people say stuff like yippee-ki-yay,
oh, I'd seen that scene.
Right, okay.
Like I'd seen bits and pieces enough to piece it together as to what it was
about.
And
you would have seen the image too of Bruce Willis like in the air conditioning
with
ducts
the light
like
up.
Crawling. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I've seen all of that and I knew the basics of what it was. I knew the storyline generally what it was about.
Did
it
you
was
know
an
the
action
Snape
movie.
Guy was in it?
I
Severus
knew,
Snape?
I
yeah.
knew Snape was in it. It was his first breakout role.
Yeah.
Like I knew all of those
he
things.
Was incredible.
Alan Rickman. Yeah.
Hans Gruber he
yes.
played.
Yes. But I'd never actually seen it from start to finish. And so on the weekend, fiancé Nev put his foot down and he said, look, we've got to watch it. It's on the Disney app.
If you're going to keep passionately making this argument.
That was his point. You got to watch it. And I was like, I'm not going to change my mind, mate. I know it's not a Christmas movie, but I'll sit here and I'll watch it. It's not December yet, so it's not off the cards. I can watch it. And we sat down and we watched it. And I got to the end of the movie and I just went, well, crap. That's
it's
definitely
a Christmas movie.
You know
what? All...
Christmas
All I've ever wanted for Christmas is for you to admit that you're wrong about that. And finally, after all these years, it's happened.
You're welcome. We're never gonna get one on. Never gonna get one on. Never gonna get one on. Never gonna get one. This is where we just love having really interesting conversations with people that have a really great story to tell. And today's Never Gonna Get One. We didn't think we were going to get one.
No.
We want to talk to a celebrity stunt double.
We are fishing in a very, very small pond.
Very small pond. We've had a call, though. We actually
yes.
have someone calling through who was a celebrity stunt double.
It's Dwayne on 131060. This was you, bro.
I was a stunt double for the man himself, Jackie Chan.
No way.
You're kidding.
In what movie?
First Strike. It was filmed in Brisbane.
So, okay, I'm confused here, Dwayne, because Jackie Chan is kind of well-known in Hollywood for performing his own stunts.
Mm. He is very well known for that, but he can't walk on stilts.
All right. So that's the skill you possess is stilt walking.
Yes, that's my skill set. Yes.
Wow.
So what was the scene? Was the Jackie Chan character actually like performing in some sort of circus or something, like had to be wearing stilts or did he just have to be made to look bigger or what was the situation?
So it was a festival parade. They were filming in Brisbane, and the main leading lady actor had to get away, and she ran between Jackie Chan's legs, and they're not actually Jackie Chan's legs. They're mine.
Wow! What a claim to fame!
So you were a stunt double for Jackie Chan's legs.
Yes.
Did you... This is a rude question, but does it pay well?
It paid very well. As a uni student, I earned more in 9 days than I did in 6 months.
Wow. Okay.
That's very cool, Dwayne. Oh, my God.
Did you get to meet the great man, Jackie Chan?
I got to spend a good amount of time because he did get up on stilts. He was very talented. He could get up on stilts.
So right. But so you're sure they're your legs in the final cut?
Absolutely, I know they're my legs.
I know my legs, man. I know.
I know my legs. Oh, that's so amazing, cool. Mate. So you were a stunt double for Jackie Chan in Brisbane, and yeah, your legs on the film. What's the movie called again?
First Strike.
First Strike. I remember that too. I don't think I've seen it, but I very much remember.
I'm going to go watch
the movie
it now.
Coming out.
I want to see Dwayne's legs.
I want to see your legs, Dwayne. Nice set of pegs there, bro. Thanks for the call.
This is Guidance Gabby.
Bit of an interesting Christmassy question today from Eileen. I'm going to read out the whole lot for you. Dear Guidance Gabby, we head to my in-laws every Christmas for lunch along with the full extended family, but this year they are requesting we pay for the honour. Every year I offer to make something or take something to lunch, but hubby's mum is very particular about the food that is served, so she declines my offer. She's decided this year, though, that it's all getting too expensive to feed everyone, so is asking each family to pay $50, which I think's a bit steep. Do I tell her I'd prefer to help out by contributing to the food, or do I just shut up and cough up? Eileen.
13, 10, 60. It's such a prickly one.
It is.
Your solution, like as a husband, is the worst.
It's the mother-in-law, so I would make my husband go to her and sort it out.
We hate it
because you don't want to cause issues between you and your mother-in-law.
There is nothing worse than when your wife or fiancé, in your case, comes to you and goes, you have to talk to your mother.
You've got to talk to your mother.
Oh, God.
I would definitely do that.
Please don't make me do it. Mate, it's such a tough one because Eileen's here like, hey, I want to help. I want to make it a family day. Like, let's all contribute. But mother-in-law's like, nah.
Hell no.
It's my way or
the highway.
I
do the ham my way.
Yeah, you pay. Yeah. You pay for my ham. I've baked it. It's my secret recipe. Look, 13, 10, 60. Mm. It's not an enviable position to be in, Eileen. But 13, 10, 60, stacks of calls coming through. Tony's first. Tony, morning, mate.
How you going, brother?
Good, mate. What's your advice for Eileen?
Mate, at the end of the day, I've got a big family. Mm. I know how much it costs for a big spread at Christmas Day. If the mother-in-law is happy to put it all on, mate, I'd be happy enough to throw $50 her way for getting all the food and taking all the problem of getting it all sorted.
It is a big effort. And I
know you said before, like $50, you know, whatever, Gabs, but for a family of four, like $50, that's a cheap lunch, you know what I mean?
You wouldn't get that out at a restaurant,
hell yeah.
Would you?
Nah, mate, especially when I can sit down and eat a kilo of prawns.
Yeah.
Okay, prawns are on the table. I think $50 is fine.
Debbie's here on 13, 10, 60. Debbie, if you were in Eileen's shoes, what would you do?
I would suggest to bring a ham like that was suggested before.
Yeah.
The option is better to bring something to Christmas. It's just nicer.
Yeah.
It is. It's about togetherness and family and coming together.
It's the same as gifts. Like, it's nicer to give a gift than it is to give a gift card. Same as lunch. Nicer to give food.
$50 on the whole of it is definitely a cheap way.
Yeah.
But she certainly won't be making money out of it, but but I don't think it's Christmassy spirit.
It's the principle of it,
Debbie.
It's
not in the spirit of the day.
Thank you for the call, mate.
Thank you so much. Have a good day. Bye.
Straight to another Debbie. Debbie number two, what would you do if you were in Eileen's shoes here, mate?
Well, to me it could be one of two things. You know, if it's a family day where they cook together, that would be awesome because that's what Christmas is about, family day.
Don't Doesn't sound like Eileen's mother-in-law is like that at all.
Sounds like she does it all.
I would suggest that and say, look, I can bring my own ingredients. Let's have a, you know, family day and cook together and maybe spend, you know, the day cooking together and maybe get it to start a new tradition.
I don't know if mother-in-law again. She sounds like she's pretty running a tight ship there. But
I think it would be scary to cook with her in the kitchen.
Christmas cook-off. Boom.
Oh,
Eileen versus mother-in-law. Game on.
Who's is better?
Alpha Bucks. Playing Alpha Bucks again. Thursday morning. This will be the Thursday morning edition of Alpha Bucks after 8 a.m.
The answer you need is Nemo.
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Swim, swim, swim.
He's swimming. In Sydney. He's going to be released into the harbour and he will help you
He's
out.
He's got a little fin on one side. The world's favourite clownfish, Nemo, is your free answer for Alpha Bucks in the morning on HIT. This isn't dirty, but it's going to sound dirty. Have you ever had to sleep on anything that's a bit wet before?
Yes.
Like camping or whatever?
I have.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
It's the worst.
Every time you roll over, it like gets cold again.
I had to sleep on a massive wet patch last night. Again, mind out of the gutter.
Oh,
you're right. You laughed.
I try to pretend it's not there.
So my son's been sick. Mm. I had to leave straight after the show yesterday so my wife and I could do the tag team thing. So I left at 9 o'clock, went home, tagged with her. She went to work. I worked a long day. She got home and I'd been at home with a sick 2-year-old all day, which wasn't fun. Mm. So after we'd had dinner, I was having a glass of wine, done all the tidying up, dishwashers packed, all that sort of stuff. My wife, being the legend that she is, turns to me and she's like, why don't you go to the bedroom and I'll take care of the kids.
Aww.
Take your wine to the bedroom and read your book.
That's nice.
I'm reading a book at the moment. So I said, that's nice. That's a great idea. So I take my full glass of wine in my Yeti wine tumbler. Didn't have the lid on. And I've got ice in it as well too because I'm full Queensland. You put ice in your wine.
So I'm guessing it's white wine.
Yeah, it's white
wine.
You're
not putting ice
I'm
in red
I'm not a
wine.
Very fancy wine drinker, guys. It's just Savvy Bee.
Yeah.
Out of a cask with ice in it.
Yes.
So I go in and I'm reading my book. I'm having a sip of the wine and it comes time to turn the page as I'm laying in bed. So I'm sort of up a little bit like you would be in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
I've elevated myself with the pillows or whatever.
But you've only got two hands.
And I've only got two hands and it's time to turn the page. So I use the belly table. I don't know if you ever use the belly table where you kind of lay back and because I have quite a large belly, there's a surface area there. So I often can balance things on there.
Oh, no.
Turns out the list of things I can't balance includes a Yeti full of Savvy B.
Wine.
Which stumbles. And I sleep on the, if I'm looking at the end of the bed, I'm on the left-hand side.
Yep.
And it fell to the right as well. So it's literally fallen right in the middle between where my wife and I sleep.
Yeah.
And I yell out of frustration, a word I can't repeat on the radio. She comes running in, sees what's happening, goes and grabs a towel, helps me mop it up or whatever. So we sort of clean it up. But then we lift up the sheet and
it's
we can see
the
there's and it's like a stain. And it totally looked like a wee stain in the middle of the mattress.
It's a little bit yellow.
If it ever comes the time that I have to sell the mattress.
It's a brand new mattress,
too. It's brand new. I'm going to be like, I swear it's not wee, guys. It's wine because that's heaps better.
We were all aware of restrictions coming into play from the 17th of December. If you don't have the vaccine, you're very limited as to where you can go into cafes, restaurants, public spaces. But the restrictions have definitely been increased as of yesterday, with Anastasia Palaszczuk declaring workers in high-risk settings will need to have their vaccine as well. To give us more detail and to explain it a little more, we do have Minister Grace Grace, the Minister for Education, on with us right now. How are you, Grace Grace?
Good, thank you, Gabby.
We wanted to get you on, Grace, because obviously the education sector, which falls under your portfolio like that, is going to be one of the most affected by these changes. There would have been a bit of backlash after the announcement that essentially you won't be able to work in education if you're not vaccinated.
Actually, surprisingly, Cliffo, most of the remarks that we received were very, very positive. I think there's a small pocket that obviously have views about being vaccinated, but the vast majority were in favour, with parents very appreciative of the fact that we are going to provide a safe environment for their children.
So all workers at state and private schools and childcare centres, prisons, youth detention complexes and airports will have to be vaccinated in order to continue their duties. Why wasn't this announced back when the other restrictions were announced for people who weren't vaccinated?
Well, Gabby, we're in a bit of a different situation here in Queensland. We don't have COVID in our community. Mm. We've been encouraging people to get vaccinated. We have no COVID in schools whatsoever, unlike New South Wales and Victoria. So we always take a cautious and measured approach. And we want to make sure that by the start of the full school year next year, that we have full vaccination of our staff and volunteers in all of these areas. And they've got until the 23rd of January to be double vaxxed.
Mm. I'm a father of two. I'm a double vaxxed father of two, Grace. And yes. I really want that. I want, you know, my children's educators to be vaccinated. I think that's a great thing. But I also don't want the start of their school year to be disrupted.
Mm.
And the teachers' union has actually come out and said there will be disruptions. Do you think that will be the case?
Oh, look, I think there'll be minor disruptions. I think if we take the example from down south, the percentage of double vaxxed staff in these centres is very, very high. There's only a very small minority. And we've got about 12,000 teachers that we can call on who are from temporary areas. And I'm sure that we will minimise the disruption when we have quite a bit of time to make sure that that happens.
What will happen to the teachers who can't work or the educators who can't work?
Well, obviously we're not going to allow them, if they're not double vaccinated, to enter the classroom. And we're working through with all stakeholders about exactly what that means, but everything is on the table.
Do you think this is going to really affect the volunteer sectors as well? Because, you know, they're already putting their time on the line without being paid, and then to have this restriction might deter them?
I don't think so, Gabby, to be honest with you. When you take the numbers of people that are vaccinated, they are very much in the high majority. And obviously we need to keep the 500,000 children in our primary schools across all sectors and child care centres safe, because they can't be vaccinated at the moment. And I think as a good parent, and as Cliffo just said, he's a double vaccinated dad, you'll find those volunteers will do the right thing to make sure that the school community is kept safe.
Let's hope so, and let's hope that the 2022 school year kicks off without a hitch. Education Minister for Queensland, Grace, love having you on the show. Thanks, Grace.
Thank you, Cliffo and Gabby.
It's a partnership we didn't see coming between Queensland Police and Tinder, but it all makes sense and it's all for a good reason. And to tell us more about it, we do have Detective Acting Superintendent Mark White on with us right now. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Mark, tell us a little bit about this joint safety campaign the Queensland Police have gotten on board with Tinder.
Yeah, well, probably over about the last 10 years, there's been a steady increase in sexual assaults being reported that have been linked to online apps. And that probably has been mirroring the evolving way that our community uses technology. And we also know that there's quite a lot of these offences that are underreported. So we've established this partnership basically to empower social media or social application users to be safe, and also to feel supported and know that their options, should anything unwanted happen during an online dating journey, that the QPS will be here and will be supportive for whatever they need.
Yeah.
That's
good. I mean, there's no doubt about the links between, like you were talking about, those assaults and the online dating apps. Mm. It doesn't make the apps look the greatest, but Tinder have been, you know, they've been good in regards to this partnership and to trying to improve the problem.
Oh yeah, look, they've been great. It's around that partnership about empowering the users to feel safe, because most interactions with these online dating apps are fun. That's what they're meant to be, and it's up to the individual experience what they're seeking out of it. But we also wanted to ensure that users felt safe, that if something unwanted happened, that they knew what the reporting options were and that they can come to the QPS and they will be supported.
I love that, because sometimes you think if you're on a dating app, maybe you won't be taken seriously, but you obviously should be taken seriously and QPS is on board. What will we actually see? Like, if we are on Tinder, how is the messaging coming across?
There'll be some messaging, like in the form of some advertising. That'll come on the app. It'll be joint with QPS and Tinder, and it'll be safety awareness messaging, basically just to provide some messaging around the campaign and what we're trying to achieve, which is really awareness around safety.
Yeah. Tinder can be an amazing thing. Gabby met the man she's about to marry on Tinder.
But I had some interesting experiences before that too.
That is often the story. What's the number one bit of advice that you would dish out, Mark, to anyone who's using these dating apps?
I suppose is to always have a plan if you're going to meet somebody for the first time. Some of the things might be to share that information with some of your friends. To meet in a public place. So if you feel that you want to leave at any time, you can. Yeah. And I suppose just be really honest about your expectations about the experience you're hoping to achieve.
It's common sense stuff, but it's often overlooked, isn't it?
Sometimes you get caught up in the moment.
You do, and romance can be an interesting thing.
Love is blinding.
I think this is a fantastic partnership. Tinder and Queensland Police, we are collectively swiping right on that. Detective Acting Superintendent Mark White, a great initiative. Mark White from QPS, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
You just finished listening to the Clippo and Gabby podcast. Wrapped up thanks to Spotlight. Spotlight has everything you need to create, decorate, and celebrate this Christmas.